Greetings, it's Terry at Cottage in the Court. What a wonderful week it's been, filled with exciting things, exciting news, and my vegetable plants are blooming. The dahlias are budding, and the daylilies are dancing to the beat of a floral band. I cannot tell you how pleased I am with my garden this year. Even my hydrangeas, they are having a ball. Although my basil has fizzled, because nothing in the garden is perfect, and I've got tons of more basil seed, so I'm okay. When you have something that's missing or that falls through, you do what you have to do to change it. My guests today are an integral part of the capital market. They've been around for a minute. I hope they're around for a long time. But I thought it important that they share their voice, they share their purpose, they share their intent on making healthier options for food, providing an entrepreneurial space for the entrepreneurs within the community. Allow me to introduce Ashley, Brittany, and Taryn. I'm going to call them the co-conspirators of the capital market. How you doing, ladies? I wanted to introduce my listeners to the core organizers of the capital market. Ashley, you want to start?
Sure, absolutely. My name is Ashley Drakeford, and I am an organizer with the capital market. I'm going into my third season for the market. I would say that my role in the market is, I don't know how I would describe it. What do you all think? I think I do a lot of things. I'm definitely a hands-on person, and I'm somebody that, you know, the day of operations, I do a lot with interacting with the vendors, interacting with the farmers, and also interacting with the people that come out. So, yeah.
And Brittany, what do you do?
Hi, my name is Brittany Drakeford. I'm Ashley's sister. And I work with the capital market. I support with some partnerships aspects, I believe, with the market, strategic planning and visioning, and supporting to run with like process and procedures. So that is my primary focus. And I've been with the market since 2014, back when we were part of the Food Justice Coalition.
And Taryn?
Hi, I'm Taryn Shaw. I'm a co-organizer of the market along with Brittany, Ashley, and Kyle, who's not here today. And I've been with the market since 2018. Yes, 2018. And as Brittany said, I'm help with process and procedures, and also with compliance with county regulations, making sure we're in compliance and up to date in everything.
And why is this market so important to you ladies? Why does this area need the capital market?
I'll take that. The market came about because of the grocery store that closed at Addison Road and Central Avenue in that plaza and left the area without a grocery store. Residents were upset. They were going to their elected officials. Nothing was happening. So the Food Justice Coalition of 20743 was formed in response to that as a way to say, hey, we're going to take charge of our community. We're going to take charge of our health. And through that, the Capital Market was born as a way to help increase access to fresh fruits and vegetables. We know that it is not the solution, but it is a starting point of returning fresh fruits and vegetables back to the community and also of supporting local businesses. So we're building, we're not only building monetary capital, but also human capital, social capital, community capital, bringing back that sense of community.
And are the vendors mostly from within the community? Do they come from outside the community? How are the vendors chosen or selected?
Hey, Brent, you want to take that one?
Yeah, so I can take that question. So our vendors that we work with them in a variety of different manners, and we select them from a variety of different manners. So as Taryn mentioned, one of the primary goals of the Capital Market is to support local businesses and primarily businesses of color. We understand and recognize some of the impacts of racism. That might be like a loaded word to use right now, right? The impacts of racism in the food system and in the food sphere. So everything from the land loss, where Black farmers have lost significant amounts of land where they were using as farming, even down to the impacts of the lack of financial capital in the banking system, which has made it more difficult for new businesses, particularly businesses of color, to be able to apply for loans, to be able to start new businesses. So we really see the Capital Market as an opportunity to help cultivate emerging businesses. So from that, we select businesses that are based in Prince George's County and also businesses that might come from outside of Prince George's County to really work with them, and particularly businesses that are just starting up, who might be at the point where they have a great idea. Maybe they have an amazing hot sauce. They have some really awesome brownies, right? And they have these really great products that they've started to make, but they want to figure out if they want to scale this up. So do we want to transition this from being just a hobby to possibly a business? And our market really serves as the incubation process or incubation space for businesses in that sense. So when we recruit businesses, we do a variety of different methods. It could be scrolling through Instagram and looking for businesses through Instagram. It could be through word of mouth. It could be going to other farmers markets or going to other spaces just to try new products, taste new products. Today, if you all could see my shoes are very dirty and muddy today, or more so muddy, because I was at a farm and I was walking around the farm today talking to new farmers to get their interest in participating in the market. So we really do a hands-on approach to meeting community members and meeting local businesses and small businesses where they are.
What so far, what has been the most unique business idea that you have come up, that you've encountered in looking for vendors for the market?
I would say one of the most unique ones to me has been, we had somebody selling kombucha.
Oh.
So that was pretty cool, you know? She manufactured it in a commercial kitchen. And she was based out of Prince George's County. I think that was one of the most unique. What do you guys think?
So yeah, Keys to Life was definitely on my list, who is a business based in Prince George's County, who made kombucha. And every time she came to the market with her kombucha, she actually sold out. And we were able to connect her with some other wholesaling partners who were able to get her her products into some other marketplaces. So I would definitely say Key to Life. It's a Wrap Project, I think, was really interesting. It was a woman who would actually make head wraps. Even though that's not necessarily a food-based business, but she would make head wraps and also teach people about how to use head wraps, how to wear them, how to style them. And as far as other foods, what is another? I mean, Taryn, do you have any other like really?
I'll say our first year we had three brown boys granola. He was actually based out of Montgomery County. And he goes to my church. So he came, him and his wife, they drive down because they said they loved the mission. They loved everything about the market, what the market was you know, achieving. So they would drive down and he'd have different flavor granolas. And he actually connected with a local beekeeper to get the honey for his bee locally. So, and it's just that connection piece also with the market, where different vendors connect with each other for products that they use to make their stuff.
That is so cool. So in a way, in reality, the Capital Market is a conduit to letting people know what you're doing and try something new and different.
Certainly. Yeah, I would certainly see the market in that sense as this incubation space. It's a test lab that we're hoping to support businesses in a safe manner, where we're, you know, that we're supporting them in a safe manner, in a manner that's less risky. Right? Mm-hmm. So you can come to a space where we're helping you with the marketing. This year, we built out a digital website or digital platform. So there's a digital directory on our website of all the different businesses that we work with and all of our vendors. We're looking to build out a multi-vendor marketplace online so that our vendors can sell either in person or also online. So we're really trying to help to reduce some of the risk that might go into starting it up. While also, I mean, really in Taryn's role and in Ashley's roles, helping them in the aspect of making sure that they have their compliance. And if you're seeking to do this professionally or you want to do this more, these are the things that you need to have in place in order to get your business actually launched.
That is awesome. Who would have thought that this is an idea that a market would take on beyond just being a space to sell stuff? You guys are really stepping up to the next level, which is really, really important. Now, how did you all get involved? Well, your first market.
Actually, our first market was at Oak Crest Community Center. It was called the Oak Crest Farmers Market. Our first year, that was actually our market. So the Food Justice Coalition was born out of a partnership between the Capital Area Food Bank and the Prince George's County Food Equity Council. Mm-hmm. So they were sponsors for the market, along with the Maryland National Capital Parks and Planning Commission. They partners with us to allow us to use the Oak Crest Community Center, mm-hmm. which was great. It was wonderful. So that's how the market.
I had no idea that you all were the same market as the one that was at Oak Crest.
Yes, we are. We are. We rebranded as the Capital Market.
Okay.
In 2019, we rebranded as the Capital Market to be more emphasis on the capital we're building.
Right. That is a wonderful idea. I had no idea. So of the three locations, are your people following you? Are you getting fresh people coming in?
We have people that's been with us since the first year, and we get new customers every year. And then this year, we also have a second location at Creative Suitland. So that's a whole new set of customers.
You've got people on Sundays and the other one is Fridays?
Yes, Mary and Main on Fridays and Creative Suitland on Sundays.
Okay. Do you get some of the same people at both markets?
There are some of the same people at both markets. There's one lady who I know by face. And by name, who actually attends both the Capitol Heights location and she also attends the Suitland location, because we're really focused on, I mean, we're very mission focused. And I mean, every year we try to do an evaluation of our program. We issue out like post-vendor surveys, issue out customer surveys to get a better sense of how we're actually doing and accomplishing the goals that we say we want to accomplish. So yes, we look at the metrics of attendance. Yes, we look at the metrics of sales, but then we also do some qualitative analysis to see, well, what are people saying? And so because of that, and because we do that evaluative based methods, we really want to make sure that each of our vendors, whenever they come to the market, that it's profitable, right? So that means that on Friday, you might see a vendor on Friday that you may not necessarily see a vendor on Sunday. So because there are different vendors at each location, that then provides an opportunity for our customers to then go around and basically shop around each market day, because we have a mix of vendors who are at each site. And that also then allows us to be able to Because we curate the market days, it allows us to be able to ensure that we don't have too much competition happening between our vendors. So while we might have applications or people who are interested in, let's say, selling candles at three or four at both of our markets, we might have four businesses that might be interested who might all sell candles. But if we have all four vendors at one market selling candles, it starts to reduce the profitability for each vendor. So we try to curate them so that they're there at different times to ensure that everyone is, that they're not competing with each other, and that they can see some sales that they need to see in order to start to expand their business and rev their businesses up in a certain manner.
And is the market year round or just seasonal?
We're seasonal, June through October.
And last year when I was there, you guys were selling shares of produce. Are you doing that again this year?
We're working on it. It's not a guarantee yet because of availability, but we are in talks. So if we do start, it will be in July. We'll have the CSA, the Black Farmers CSA. It would start in July. Mm-hmm. So we're currently in the process of that right now.
Yeah, so we're looking for more people to sign up for the Black Farm CSA. That's a partnership that we do with Dreaming Out Loud, who has been partners of the farmers market since its inception in 2018. So if anyone out there is interested in signing up for the Black Farm CSA box and picking it up at the Capital Market or at the Creative Suitland location, you all can visit our website at thecapitalmarketmd.com, and we have a registration link there. You can also visit us at the market and do a sign up on site. And our hope is to get at least 20 people to sign up for CSA shares. And if we can get 20 people to sign up for CSA shares, then we can definitely then guarantee that Dreaming Out Loud can do our produce share.
Well, for those that don't know what a share is, what is a share?
Yeah, Ashley, do you want to tackle that one?
Sure. So CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture, right? So essentially, if you don't know a lot about farming, it is very expensive and it is very labor intensive, right? And so when you purchase a CSA, CSA was created by a Black doctor and farmer, Dr. Watley, I believe his name is. But so a CSA is where a person or a family can pay a certain amount of money right up front. So you may pay anywhere from $250 for a season up to $500 or $750, depending on what that farm is like, right? And so that money that you're paying, essentially, you go into supporting the farm. And so your money helps support the farm, helps support them buy products and seeds and, do that work. And in return, you get a portion of their crops every week, right? And so you get that variance because, some farms are bigger than others. Some farms you get, you might get veggies and fruits. And other farms you might get veggies, fruits. You might get eggs from their chickens. So, every farm is different. But essentially a CSA is like an early advancement on your fruits and veggies that you're going to get from a farm each week, direct from the farmer. So it cuts out the middleman. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of sense. And it's a way of investing in your health because you know that it's grown locally and you're supporting local, which I'm a huge proponent of. So, and I noticed Absolutely. The bags last year were very hearty. Yeah.
Yeah, and the cool thing about the Black Farm CSA is that you get a portion of items from different farms, right? So it might not just be one Black-owned farm. You might get greens from, one farm, and you might get blueberries from a different one. And so what I like about it is that each week, you should get like a little email that tells you that kind of features or highlights, one of the Black farmers that's in your bag.
Another cool thing about having a share is for those, everyone doesn't cook and some people do love to cook, and you might get something in that share that you didn't think about buying at the store. So you try something new, just pushing CSA.
Absolutely.
I'm a major fan of CSAs.
I mean, and I think that's also for us one of the other like important aspects of the farmers market. So we, you know, we think about the concepts of food apartheid, you know, food sovereignty, and really culturally relevant food systems and food spaces. And so for, you know, certain communities, you know, particularly African American communities, even to a certain extent, some of our immigrant communities, there has been a disconnect from our food system, right? We have been disconnected from the cultural pathways of how we've come to interact with food and how we, I mean, everything from the celebratory methods, from the farming aspect, how we cook, what types of food. And so just being at the market, I have learned about foods that maybe my grandmother would cook all the time, right? That maybe I didn't cook because I didn't know how to. And it's like, wow, like this is something that is actually, it's good. It's easy to cook. Everything from like fresh green beans, like great, peas have also been great. And then also, of course, like this yellow watermelon that people fight over. I mean, not literally fight over, but they fight over at the market.
Can't get enough of it, huh?
They cannot.
It's delicious.
It is. It's very delicious.
Now, how do you serve it? Just fresh? Or do you put other fruits with it? Put in a fruit salad?
I just cut it up. I mean, it's funny. When we have the yellow watermelon at the market, people won't even leave the market site before they start eating it. Like, you just cut it up and just dive in. It is. Because they're a little smaller than some of the traditional red watermelons or the typical red watermelons that we see at the grocery store that might be a lot longer. So they're little small, almost like sugar babies that you can just cut in half, and they are juicy and sweet.
I for sure can eat one by myself and have.
Oh my.
I call them personal watermelons.
They definitely, yeah, they are.
Watermelons, yes.
Not for sharing, huh?
No.
Absolutely not.
So if we were to go to the market this Friday, how many vendors do you have there generally on Fridays? Is there more people on Fridays than Sundays, or it just varies?
It really just varies. I would say, you know, the markets are, we were just talking about this yesterday, both market locations are great and they're both very different, right? And so we might have some of the same businesses, right? So we're going to have, we're always going to have farmers. Miss Renee is always going to be there selling her brownies. We also like to host different food trucks. You'll see Neek and Nons.
I love their stuff.
She does like fresh sauces and vegan based like condensed milk and things like that. But on Fridays, you really see kind of like, because it's from 12 to 4, you see like a lunch crowd and people that are like, you know, popping in and surprised, or they're coming and grabbing their CSA bags. Whereas our location at Creative Tooling is, you know, it's a much bigger space and is geared towards, you know, the artist community. We're partnering with them this year. They're doing a while we're doing the farmers market, they have something going on called Poetry and Produce, right? And so there are poets there. You see families that are coming out to kind of spend time and enjoy the food trucks or the ice cream trucks in that sort of way. And then we'll start working on like some community art projects and things like that over on at the Sunday location.
So you're not only building a market, you're also building community.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say we're building community, right? But we don't want to take the credit for it. We are just bringing out the community.
Taryn, what would you get for the market?
Last year, we had a farmer that did West African Caribbean greens. So I'm Jamaican, so I love me some Kalaloo. So I stacked up. And I brought it to my mom's house and said, can you make me some Kalaloo and saltfish? And I really left it there. So I loved picking up the Kalaloo and the Kalaloo from the farmer. Unfortunately, she's not here with us this year. And I love Neek and Nons. She does a coconut-based condensed milk, or I should say condensed milk. And I love it. I put it in my overnight oats. I'll put it in my oatmeal. If I make some porridge, I'll put it in the porridge. Yes. Like that's my go-to. And I love our candle ladies always pick up some, and I love giving them as gifts.
Mm-hmm. Ashley?
Sometimes I hate that. I hate and love that I get paid on Fridays during the market because it's like I spend all my money at the market. So I pretty much walk away with everything that you can buy. But I would say, like Brittany mentioned, the candles. Right now, one of my big things are the juices from Revive. They're really, really good. And it's like a different take on fresh juices, much different than what I've had before. Some of their juices have like papaya and strawberries and sea moss. So that's, yeah, those are really, really good. And then they have like, you know, they have a line where like if you're doing the detox, right? So right now it's, you know, we're coming up on swimsuit season. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to make sure, you know, I'm fresh for swimsuit season. So that's a big one for me right now.
Huh. I must agree with everyone on Neek and Nan. It got me through the winter. I used it on steamed vegetables. I was marinating all kind of meat in it. It was just like, I'm going to run out this year. I got to find out where they are. So now I know, but I'll be there on Sundays because I'm back in the office now. So, but have you noticed a difference in the level of the crowd now that people are getting out more?
But for sure, you know, we see a lot more families on Sunday. And I think that people are really excited about being able to kind of congregate and have that interaction, even if it's for, you know, a brief time at the market to get their produce and to kind of laugh and joke together.
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly say that last year at the Mary and Main location in Capitol Heights, because we had so many, since there were a lot of restrictions and not many things were open, sometimes at the market, it almost felt like a family reunion. People would say, oh, we would see family members there who hadn't seen each other in a while, who could still go through safely, pick up their produce, pick up items, get some hot food. You know, last year we had two vendors, DC Pudding and also Smoke and Low were like our prepared food vendors. So we all ate lots of bread pudding last summer because it was divine. And they would have fun. And then as Ashley said, on Sundays, we're seeing people with their families because unfortunately, you know, or, you know, unfortunately, there have not been many options for people in that neighborhood to maybe hang out and just have a safe space where you can bring your kids, hang out, listen to some art, get some good food, and just have a relaxing Sunday evening, especially, you know, as the result of COVID and after COVID. So we're really seeing a lot of families, and we've really been talking about ways that we can make that even more of a family affair and make it even more of festive for people to spend their Sunday afternoons with us.
So my final question for you ladies, because you've been so gracious in giving me your time, this is probably going to be hard, and I want to start with you, Ashley. Give me two reasons why people need to support the Capitol Market.
Oh, for sure. So I would say the first reason why people need to support the Capitol Market is because we should all be inclined to eat healthy, right? And know and have a better access to our food system and our food chain, right? And I would say the second reason is to support local businesses. And if you don't come out and support them, right? You know, a lot of times, I know Brittany says is like, you know, people are like, oh, I love this. I love what you guys are doing. Well, tell five of your friends, right? Because if nobody comes out and supports, you know, these vendors and these businesses that are looking to grow, they won't continue to come to the market.
Who wants to go next?
I'll piggyback off what Ashley said. Health is our wealth. And we've been historically disenfranchised, especially when it comes to food, healthy eating. They have intentionally deprived our neighborhoods. So come on out, get some fresh fruits and vegetables, get some Black joy. Second, we're changing the narrative. We are changing the narrative of what's historically they talk about like people don't think a farmer's market will thrive in a Black community because people won't come out and spend their dollars or the money isn't there. And that's, it's not true. We have the money. People will support it and people are supporting it. Those are my two reasons.
And Brittany, I'll let you wrap that up.
Yeah. So, I mean, Ashley and Taryn have definitely, you know, mentioned the aspects that I would definitely say why you support it. I mean, if I were to add anything, it would be one, to build community, right? That's when you come to the capital market, you are investing in capital. We look at our market and capital, as we've talked about before, in the community's capitals framework. That means for us, it's not just about financial capital, it's about social capital, community capital, our navigational capital, our built capital, all of these other aspects. And so when you come to the capital market, just by showing up, you're actually investing in your neighborhood and investing in our communities. We've often heard that, you know, as Taryn mentioned, that, I mean, we could probably even pull up a map of how many farmers markets exist in Prince George's County below Route 50. And they're not many. And people have attempted to start farmers markets and organize farmers markets in our neighborhoods, and they have not succeeded. And we have a lot of great energy. We've been organizing, and we want to continue to support our farmers, which for me, I think would be the second aspect. We can look at, I think it might be a total of, I used to have the number off the top of my head, 13 million acres, I believe, of farmland was lost to Black farmers since over the last 100 years. And so by us supporting our farmers, we're also doing that investment, as Taryn was saying, into this ancestral pathways for us of ensuring that our farmers can continue to grow culturally relevant crops. So we can continue to have Jama Jama, we can continue to have huckleberries, we can continue to have sow paw peas, we can continue to have purple hull peas or fish peppers or all those other aspects of things that we are seeking to grow. So, I mean, I think I would say those are the two reasons why, because we're building community and we're connecting that community to our years of lineage that we have working in the food system and working in the food space, and now in the present and wanting to reconnect that with our community in the present.
Are you all ever going to do anything like do you have talks or speakers at the farmers market that people could get educational value from as well?
Yeah, for sure. So we do talks. We at the market. We actually have 2 years ago. We worked with a SNAP and WIC nutrition educator to come out to the market. And typically they won't do it this year because of COVID. Mm-hmm. But typically they come out and they'll purchase items from the farmer and bring recipe cards for people to kind of learn how to, you know, use some of the fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, as the capital market, we've started to expand and we teach gardening classes. We've definitely thought about that educational component. And I know Brittany is working with Gethsemane United Methodist Church and their political discipleship program. And so really thinking about other ways in educating and training the community on food apartheid and food empowerment.
Yeah, so right before COVID, so it was March 20th, I forget the exact date, but it was March 2020, we actually had planned a food justice film screening. It was called A Recipe for a Food Desert. And we had the permissions to view several films, including Soul Food Junkies. It was a film based out of Oakland that looked at the community, that looked at community gardens, and then also a film around segregation by design, which actually explores some of the impacts of redlining and white flight on the food system and also on just on community amenities. And we had a bunch of heavy hitters from the Black Church Community Food Network. We had people from the Center for Community Progress. So Akilah Butler Watkins, who is the president and CEO of that organization, she has signed on as a guest speaker. We had people from Future Harvest CASA, and we were hyped. We were ready to go. But unfortunately, COVID, we were unable to move forward with the March 2020 date. But we've definitely been in discussions about relaunching that and hosting a film screening. Because for us, it also is about educating our customers and our patrons, not just about why healthy food is, why eating and choosing local is good for our physical bodies, but also how we can think about the the financial aspects of it as well, so that we can be more willing to support our local farmers.
As a group, you all are awesome. I know, speaking for myself, I think the community gives you all major shout out, major uplifting. I will be there going forward. And I'm just so glad to see that you all are here on this side of COVID. And I only see wonderful, bright things for the future with the capital market. I really, really do. And thank you all for being a dedicated group to make sure that this market stays on the map. And we're just going to keep plugging and plugging and plugging the capital market to make sure that it stays on the forefront of everybody's mind.
And we receive that as well.
Yes.
Thank you.
And we'll follow up. I think in July, I'll see if the shares haven't been, the shares will all be sold. I'm going to speak that into fruition. So we can see and share what's in a share, a CSA share. That's going to be exciting.
Yep. And we have some other like really exciting vendors coming on board. So we talked about fish today. We'll be launching in July. We have a cattle farm that's based in Upper Marlboro that will be doing fresh sausages, meats, meat cuts. We have eggs starting this week. We have fresh flowers at the market, honey. So the market is growing and it's expanding. And we really just thank everyone out there for their continued support of us.
Thank you, ladies, so much for your time. And I look forward to seeing you all on Sunday.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
What an awesome idea, right? A farmer's market, the capital market, providing a need to Central Prince George's County. Offering everything from candles to fish to brownies to sauces and more. I even hear they have some cut flowers there. You might want to go check it out. Let's support our local vendors as they exercise their right to become an entrepreneur and provide those special things to this community. I want to share a quick quote with you today from Elwin Taylor. If it weren't for agriculture, there would be no culture at all. Think about that. Thank you, Capital Market, for being there for us. And I hope that we have encouraged people to consider buying a share so that they can try something new or just know that they've done their part by supporting local. I want to say thank you for following me, my website, cottageinthecourt.com, Instagram and Twitter, Cottage in Court, Facebook, Cottage in the Court, and sometimes I write on Medium. Enjoy the weekend, and I really hope that you visit your local farmers market to support those farmers that are out there every day, no matter the weather, creating food for the benefit of our bodies and our minds. Enjoy the weekend.